It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle is out. I was going to make up new things about what he might be missing for today.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, all day long, I would say, well, Kyle's not here because...
Like, why he's gone?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he had to, like, wash his cat or, you know, like...
You make know how his cats go.
You know, make up random reasons why Kyle is not here today. But, you know, sometimes we have doctor's appointments and dentist appointments.
There's a bunch of Christmas carolers in front of Kyle's house right now. What do you want the man to do?
That's right.
He can't leave.
He cannot leave. He's stuck behind a giant troop of reindeer.
They're in the middle of Jingle Bells right now. He's stuck.
That's right. That's right. I'm James Hamm. Of course, Jesse Tapia is joining me today. We'll have Mark Jones pop in the 11 o'clock hour today. So lots to talk about. We are, of course, the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. And Jesse, we got to start, and you know what? Like, we're going to start, and we'll probably finish with the same exact thing. And the 2 hours in between, we'll probably talk about the exact same thing.
It's going to be a lot of kinks today. Buckle up.
It is going to be. If you're here to talk about the 5-29 San Francisco 49ers, the team that's done, that everyone's on the IR. We're not going to spend much time on the 49ers.
Isaac Rendell's a starting running back. Brock Purdy's a quarterback. Everything else is bad.
Yeah,
there you go.
If you got Grendo in your waiver pickup, good on you. We're excited for you in your fantasy football league. We did, in fact, me and my son, we did pick up Grendo. We had $77 left in bid cash of our $100 for the year, and we're like, well, we might as well just go all in. And so we had the most expensive bid purchase, I think, that we've ever had.
Fighting for my playoff life, and Derrick Henry has a bye, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
But the Kings won.
The Swift Kirk in the Dickers is also missing Derrick Henry this weekend. So we're a little shorthanded as well. It's a tough bye week for a lot of fantasy football people. Let's get to the real meat of the bone, though. The Sacramento Kings have been up and down. They've been all over the place. There's this dark cloud. They are the Charlie Brown of the NBA right now, where you just kind of see this rain cloud following them and dumping rain on them at all times.
Yeah, it's honestly been pretty ugly, and I feel like up until last night, up until that second quarter when they went on that run, it was just kind of like, oh, we're just kind of waiting now at this point. We're just kind of like, all right. Like, we'll see what happens, I guess.
Exactly. And I'm kind of torn now, because when I think about the Charlie Brown analogy, I really feel like the Kings are Lucy, and every time Kings fans think they've got something cool...
That's perfect.
...they pull the ball
out. That's perfect. Yeah, the Kings are not Charlie Brown. They are Lucy. The Kings fans are Charlie Brown.
That's I would agree. So
we've been telling it wrong for years.
It probably is. Like, the Kings are... Kings fans are wandering around with the dark cloud, like, raining on them at all times. And the bad things always happen to them. And, you know, the teacher that you can't understand is always yelling at Charlie Brown.
I think that's perfect. Yeah, that works.
I think we've messed up this analogy forever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Sacramento Kings decided that they were tired of being Charlie Brown or Lucy or whoever. And they welcomed in the Houston Rockets last night, a Houston Rockets team that was red hot. Houston Rockets team that is absolutely packed with talent. And not only talent, but the type of talent that usually gives the Kings fits. They're long, they're athletic, and they're extremely physical. They lived up to just about everything that I thought that they would be when we don't watch them full time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't good enough. The Sacramento Kings came away with a 120-111 victory.
That was the complete opposite, honestly, of what I expected coming into that game.
Yeah, you do know they were favored. The Kings were favored by a point and a half last night.
Really?
And we talked yesterday, Kyle and I talked about it nonstop, that this was like the biggest sucker's bet ever, mm-hmm. right? Everyone's going to be like, oh, of course. Of course I'm taking the Rockets. The Rockets plus 1.5?
One day we'll find out the truth about Vegas and who really runs sports, because it's a little ridiculous at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So I was I was very, very intrigued to see how the Kings would respond. Huh. And not only was I intrigued to see how the Kings would respond, but Jesse, I got to be honest with you. I've been through this so many times. Like my first 12 years on the job here covering the Sacramento Kings, I saw eight other head coaches come and go, but nine head coaches. Mike Brown is the ninth head coach that I've covered. And you start to feel when things have gone south and when things are going to go even further south. And lo and behold, I think last night was like a stay of execution for the Sacramento Kings, for whoever. It was a moment where things could have gone even further south and even more dangerous, and they didn't, because the Kings stepped up in a tremendous way. And really, they played with force. They played with energy. And in the Western Conference, if you're not going to do this, if you're not going to show up and you're not going to play hard and bring energy, effort, and execute, those three things, you're going to get stomped on a nightly basis. And it doesn't matter. Like, there are not any horrible teams in the Western Conference outside of maybe the Utah Jazz. And the Utah Jazz have all kinds of talent and can beat anybody on any given night.
You're not going to be able to sleepwalk through a Utah Jazz game.
No, you can't sleepwalk through any game in the Western Conference. The Kings have this season, and it's why they came into last night at, 9-12. And so for me, that was the biggest thing, the energy, the effort, the execution. They came out and they looked like the more dominant, aggressive team.
Yeah, and that's why I think I was kind of shocked. Yeah, we'll say shocked, because honestly, I thought Houston going into that game was going to punch him in the mouth, and it was going to be an ugly game, to be honest. I didn't think the Kings going into it really had much of a chance, but come second quarter, I don't know if it was Dylan Brooks that lit the fire, or whoever, whatever you want to say, but I mean, the Kings took it to them, and it was more so the Rockets were on the back foot the entire rest of the game.
Yeah, it really did feel that way. The second quarter, the Kings finished on an 8-0 run, but I think it was 11-1 in the last couple of minutes. They really like turned up the intensity, and it was Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks decided he wanted to push Domantas Sabonis. He got a tech, and like he wanted to get in Domantas Sabonis' head. Sabonis just turned around and walked away. We talked to Sabonis about it later, and Sabonis like kind of laughed. He said, "You know, when I was young, I was a hothead, and I've really had to learn how to walk away from situations like that." And it felt like that was like their card that they played. It's like, oh, we're just going to try to get physical and get dirty and get in your head. And then when you're in your head, we're just going to, you know, run over you.
Yeah.
And the response from the Kings was like, no, no.
They flipped out on the Rockets. I feel like they got in the Rockets' head. I mean, you look at Ime and Sengun getting tossed. That was weird in itself. I don't know how that got so hostile or whatever, but I feel like the Kings kind of turned it over where like they beat the Rockets at their own game, not playing dirty or anything like that, but more so like, no, we're gonna out physical you, and we're gonna get in your head too.
Yeah, Jesse, the problem that you have is when you decide that you're gonna set a standard of physicality in a game, and the Rockets are usually the team that dictates the physicality. They're the ones that say, look, we're gonna come in here and we're gonna beat you up. And Mike Brown talked about it in pregame. He said when he coached the Cavs, he said he would tell his guys, go out there and be so physical that by the end of the first quarter, the officials can't keep calling fouls. Either they're going to call it or they're not, but we're gonna beat up on everybody the whole night. He said that's what the Rockets do, and that's the Emi Udoka way. That's what the way that he learned to play the game, the way he played as a player, was to come out there and be as physical as possible the entire time he's on the court. And when the Kings, number one, matched that physicality, that was big. But then the second thing is when this thing got out of hand and they weren't getting the calls that they thought that they deserved.
Uh-huh.
Well, like, look, man, you're the one who set the standard for physicality tonight.
Yeah.
You're the one that says we're playing it like a 9.8. And now all of a sudden you want it to be called at a 6?
And we're throwing tantrums at this point.
Yeah, okay, like, that's not going to happen. And, you know, again, I think Alperen Şengün is he's a next-generation center. He's going to be one of the greats. You know, he's going to be right there fighting with Sabonis for an all-star bid every single season from here on out. And it's going to get more and more difficult because Wembanyama is going to be there as well, and Sabonis is going to have a really difficult time ever making another, all-star game in the Western Conference because of the young guys that are coming up. But there's a way that he plays, and he is a gigantic foul grifter. And it's one thing when you're, you know, Shea and you're moving at the speed of light, or you're Luka and you're literally the poster child for the NBA.
Yeah.
You're going to get all these calls. But Şengün has this, he's ground-based, he's big, and then he turns into Gumby out of nowhere, like all the time. So he starts asking for fouls, and he runs up, slams into Sabonis, and turns into a giant wet noodle. And then, like...
He's like an overdramatic kid.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he's throwing a tantrum at a grocery store. You know, you bring him, your kid through the eye, through to go check out, and of course they line it with candy just to mess with you.
Uh-huh.
He's that kid who's just like, he slams into Sabonis, turns into a giant wet noodle and flops everywhere, but keeps his dribble because, of course, it's all an act, and then tries to attack Sabonis off the dribble. Sabonis plays defense with his chest, and then just this crazy meltdown. I was here for all of it because I was here for Dylan Brooks getting tossed, picking up his sixth foul, because I thought he instigated all of this, and then I was very much here for the Emi Udoka and Alperen Şengün like meltdown.
Yeah, I was sitting there watching it. Like, I don't get why you guys are going so wild or so crazy right now. It felt like they were kind of overdoing it at that point. Like, Emi Udoka's kind of charging at the ref or whatever, and they're holding him back. Like, I didn't think. I thought that was all kind of extra.
Yeah. No, I thought so too. And I think at a certain point, it's possible that Emi was trying to protect his player. But at the same time, it's not like his player got hit like when he was in the air and it was some dirty play. And it's not like the foul calls were egregious one way or the other.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't watching. Like, oh, yeah, I get it. But
yeah, I mean, like, look, the problem is that when you say that we're playing at 9.8, that we're all going to go out there and beat up on each other the whole night. When you, every single rebound that the Kings got on the defensive end, either Tari Eason or Thompson ran at the ball handler and fouled them. Like, ran at them and, like, tried to get a steal and ran into somebody. And the Kings were like, what are you guys doing? Why do you keep running into us? Like, that's the standard that they set. We're going to play a frenetic, chaotic game, and we're going to out-bully you. And the fact is that last night the bullies got bullied.
Yeah, that's honestly pretty much it. That's the perfect way to sum up the game. Bullies got bullied yesterday, which is nice because we haven't seen that from the Kings, I think, all year. But maybe it's a start.
We might not have seen that from the Kings for the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it's possible that we might have seen that for the last 15 years. You know, it's kind of the way that it goes. Like, this team hasn't had that sort of, you know, personality.
Uh-huh.
But again, if you're going to compete in the Western Conference, Jesse, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah, if you're going to just show up and think that you've got more talent than the other team, but you're not going to play hard, you're going to lose a good portion of the games at, you know, at the NBA level.
Yeah.
We do have all kinds of incredible things to sort of break down from this game. You know, the one thing that I loved, Dylan Brooks is one of the true instigators of the league, and like almost like a fake tough guy. Like,
if you're his teammate, do you ever get tired of that? Because like, you did piss off De'Aaron Fox yesterday. Like, they were talking about it post game. Like, don't piss off De'Aaron Fox, all that stuff. But like, you get tired of it. Like, kind of like, hey, can you kind of just relax and play ball today?
Well, I found it really like, it was funny to hear Fox talk, because Fox was very clear. Like, look, people around the league know they don't mess with me that way. Uh-huh. They know what happens if you mess with me that way. And I'm thinking to myself, well, like, what are you going to, like, stick somebody? I'm confused. Like, what do you mean they know?
What happens? Yeah.
Like, De'Aaron's like, oh, they know. It's like, okay.
I think that, yeah, it just means De'Aaron's going to have a great game no matter what.
Well, that's the problem. So, like, I need somebody on his team or, like, somebody that's part of his group or something to, like, literally insult him before every game.
Yeah,
like,
we need, the Sacramento Kings need to hire a De'Aaron Fox motivator.
Yeah, like, somebody slap him in the face or,
I don't know if we need to do all that.
You know, if he's walking down the hall, you just trip him. You know, somebody like, oh, yeah, I just disrespected you. Like, whatever it is to get him motivated to do that. Because, like, look, De'Aaron Fox is a great player. I'm not. But when De'Aaron Fox is pissed.
Yeah, you can't stop him.
He goes to, like, some other level. And even last night, I think he had something like 8 of the final points in the second quarter when they rallied and they got it to within 1. And what they did right there is, again, Dylan Brooks instigated a bunch of stuff. Then they go to, right after that, Sabonis, I think it was Sabonis. Sabonis caught somebody with an elbow, and they went and reviewed it to see if it's a flagrant. And while they did that, the in-house, you know, the in-house guys who run the scoreboard, Kings employees, they did a wonderful job, because what they kept doing was like panning to a little girl in the stands, and everybody would cheer, and then panning to Dylan Brooks, and everyone started booing.
That's how you do it. Solid work.
They just kept doing it, though, because it was like a minute 30 probably break while they were looking at the play.
Yeah.
And they just kept going back and forth. They're giving this little girl candy. You know, she's like celebrating, slams and ends up picking her up and doing holding her up in the air. And then they pan to Dylan Brooks and everyone in the arena. The fans responded in a tremendous way. It was very loud in the building. They got into the game, and not only that, but they had a villain of the game, and it was Dylan Brooks. And it's almost like the dude turned on the faucet and they didn't know how to shut it off. Like, oh no.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as Dylan Brooks did what Dylan Brooks always does, the Rockets were on the back foot the entire rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you're watching it play out, you're like, okay, like having Dylan Brooks on your team would be nice because he is physical. He is a great jump shooter, although a lot of his jump shots he shouldn't be taking. He's also like a very, very good defender. And, you know, the Kings were interested in Dylan Brooks a couple of years ago when he became available in free agency and he signed with Houston. The money got too big and they had other plans, right? But either way, like, this is a player that I think the Kings have always kind of needed.
Uh-huh. I feel like you take the good with the bad, like the bad with the good, I guess, with Dylan Brooks. Like, he does bring something to your team where, like, you are going to improve, but there are the games where it's like, all right, Dylan kind of did too much today.
Well, I think that there's going to be a lot of times where he just wears out his welcome.
Uh-huh.
And it happened in Memphis, and they scapegoated him in Memphis.
Oh, yeah. I think, what was it? The tweet from Shams said, Memphis Grizzlies said they will under no circumstances be bringing back Dylan Brooks or something like that. That was weird the way that ended.
Well, it was very weird, especially when you have a guy who was, you know, kept waving guns and on Instagram posts that kept getting suspended by the league.
Huh.
You had a bunch of injuries. You had a bunch of other guys doing stupid things on the court. You had, like, Ja Morant's dad trying to fight Shannon Sharp on the sidelines. You know, like, all of these things are happening, and you, like, oh, it's Dylan Brooks' fault. It has nothing to do with the superstar who keeps missing games because the league suspends him for 25. Like, it had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I found that I'm amused by Dylan Brooks, but I once again was reminded that I don't think I want any part of him because he brings that out in other teams on occasion. And sometimes I think it works because he bullies people that are okay getting bullied and shrink up into a shell and are like, okay, no, I'm not going to fight back. But last night you saw the Kings go, oh, no, I'm going to fight. Even the way that Dylan Brooks fouled out was so perfect. Keegan Murray, the quietest guy on the court, he just stands in and takes a charge on a fast break, and Dylan Brooks runs him right over, gets the call, out of the game, that's six, see ya. And Keegan's like, you know, just points the other way, and he was asked about his celebration. He's like, I just pointed the other way and, you know, made sure that Dylan Brooks saw that I was pointing the other way.
It's a 7 out of 10 impression right there. I'll give you props.
Yeah, yeah. So that was it. It was like, okay, see ya.
Yeah.
But like, I thought that there was a way that the Kings responded that I did not expect. And I don't think a lot of people expected. Somehow Vegas expected it.
Which makes no sense. Again, Vegas, we'd like to learn your secrets one day.
Yeah, nobody else really, really expected that to happen last night.
The Kings being favored in that game makes absolutely no sense. Like, we don't have to go over it because you and Kyle did yesterday. But I can't rationalize that at all.
But then everyone who took the Kings won.
I guess we're the dummies.
That was no one.
Yeah.
No one took the Kings to win. Everyone took the Rockets, and the Kings, like, they just slapped them down. Like, it was pretty crazy. We had some good things from this game. Outside of the fact that the Kings won 120 to 111. I think, Jesse, the starting lineup is starting to gel. And, you know, it's a couple of games into this process, right, with Malik Monk being in the starting lineup. But last night he had a career-high 12 assists. We talked to him in the locker room afterwards, and he was very clear, like, look, they can't defend me and De'Aaron. I think it's quote, they can't blitz me and Fox. somebody's going to be passing.
Yeah, Malik Monk, like, because Malik Monk is not just a guy out there. He's not a role player or anything like that. Malik Monk is like a playmaker who makes a difference, a big impact.
No, he does. He makes a tremendous difference. And, hit, you know, 12 assists. He had got to 10 assists multiple times in his career. I think this was his fourth double-double, so probably he had three other times where he at least got to 10 assists, but he never broken through and hit the 12 mark. And then the Kings probably had like five shots to get him his 11th assist and kept missing. But what it did is his play style and his willingness to accept a role as not just a scorer. He ends up with 17 points, but it's because they fed him late. But it just put so much pressure on the Rockets' defense, because you had like dueling banjos. You had guys coming at you from both sides of the court at all times, a lefty and a righty, and both of them are dynamic in their own way. And Malik is one of the best passers, one of the best pick and roll guards in the league.
He's probably one of the more underrated players in the league, I think.
Oh no, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I wonder if just like throwing it out there, I wonder if he'll get Sixth Man of the Year now that he's starting.
I mean, that seems to be the requirement.
Yeah, I guess it is possible. You know,
Nas maybe. Reed really did come in, start 14 games. Like, yep, Nas did it.
Yeah, world's best cup of coffee. So I'm concerned with like how they're gonna backfill behind Malik, but I love the energy. I love what the Kings look like when he's on the court, especially with De'Aaron Fox. I love the two man game with him and Sabonis. I'm loving this development of Isaac Jones. These are all things we're going to get to in 6/7 quick thoughts a little bit later. But you're seeing that, look, it's going to be difficult because you do have to find somebody else like Malik to be off the bench. Maybe that's Devin Carter. Maybe it's Keon Ellis, who did not play last night, got a DMP CD. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's somebody that we don't know yet. But you're still going to need that guy to bring energy off the bench if Malik's not there. And the Kings never just do like five bench players at one time. Last night they only played eight players total before, the last 2 minutes where they brought in some scrubs. But my point is, I think what we saw last night was the Kings firing on all eight cylinders, for the first time.
Everyone out there was contributing.
Yeah.
I don't think Jay Crowder scored any points, but I mean, he helped out and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, what Jay Crowder does is he does what Dylan Brooks does. Uh-huh. Except for he's not a jerk about it. He's more of a real tough guy. Maybe he's a fake tough guy as well. Maybe we've never seen Jay Crowder like beat someone up. I don't know. Maybe he has.
I can vouch for Jay Crowder. He was on the Celtics for a few years. Definitely a tough guy.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. He's not going to put up with any of that stuff. And I thought that there was going to be a point where we saw Jay Crowder versus Dylan Brooks, and it's like, oh, it's on like Donkey Kong. But it never happened. At least not that I saw. So I thought that this was a moment where the starting lineup and then the other guys started to gel. And we've been waiting for it. And it's even something I had asked Mike Brown during pregame. Like, how much do you need the other guys to figure out their roles and start playing to their strengths? And he's like, man, we do. We need it bad. But, you never know when it's going to, gel, when you're going to have some sort of, epiphany moment by players. And I thought last night was one of those nights.
Yeah. I think too, like you mentioned, you're gonna have to fill Malik, like the backfield Malik Monk spot now that he's starting. I think that's something for Monty McNair. I'm not sure you're getting that from the guys that are there right now.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, there are guys like that out there. And again, it might be Devin Carter. Like we got to give him a shot, right? Yeah. And we're talking about, he's probably a month away at this point. So maybe you can make it to that point and then see what he's got. Uh-huh. Maybe he can bring that energy and sort of that fire. I'm intrigued by him. The wingspan, everything else, the athleticism, the ability to shoot the three. He's been shooting for months. So he'll be ready when he hits.
How ready do you think he'll be? Because I wonder, a rookie who's missed the timeline was 6 to 8 months. I don't know how much his time has been now and how close he is or whatnot. But how game ready do you think he could be off the bat? Do you think it'd be a month? It'd take a month for him of NBA game time for him to really get going, or how much do you think he contribute to start?
Well, I mean, I think initially you're worried about that, right? How long is it going to take? And he is way behind the eight ball. He did not participate in training camp or anything else.
Yeah, he's missed a lot.
But when you need a player to play 24 minutes or something like that, that's a problem. When you need a guy to go out there for 3 minutes in the first quarter and 3 minutes open the second quarter, and then come back in and play another 3 minutes and 3 minutes in the third and fourth, and maybe you don't put him in for his 3 minutes in the fourth if it's not going well. So to play 9 to 12 minutes a game, I think you can get away with bringing a guy along in that scenario. It's kind of what we're seeing with Isaac Jones, and Isaac Jones just keeps demanding more and more play time.
Yeah, he's producing definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I think we need to like take a step back and say, okay, look, hopefully he can contribute, and if he can't, you should already have a plan B in place anyways. Maybe it's Jordan McLaughlin who comes in and just gets a couple of extra minutes and brings some spark. You know, maybe it's a Keon Ellis. Maybe Colby Jones figures something out. I don't know. Maybe Mason Jones. He's been battling a hamstring issue. He's back on the court at the G League level. But maybe he's a guy that you say, okay, let's give him a little bit of burn and see if he can bring that energy that we're missing, that spark off the bench. We had the blow up on the court where Emi Udoka lost his mind and chased a ref around. And then while that was happening, Shangoon walks by the official and yells something really loudly, and he gets tossed. We also have this situation where Tari Eason walked by and like knocked the ball out of Malik Monk's hands. So Malik Monk ran over and like fought to get the ball back during the whole skirmish thing. And it was just Malik being Malik and just kind of, you know, being a nuisance in his own way. But then Tari Eason, according to our friend Sam Amick, lost his mind after the initial blow up as well. And I don't know if it was right at the end of the game. I'm not sure. It's right down below us and somehow we miss this. But according to Sam Amick of The Athletic, Tari Eason had to be restrained from going into the stands last night. There's a walkway right behind the visitor's bench. It's a ramp that goes up to the stands, and somebody must have said something to him because he started chirping back profanity laced through a towel and then tried to go into the stands and was stopped by security. So that's probably going to warrant some fines, some maybe a possible suspension.
Yeah, I'm curious when it happened. I was reading Sam's article. I might have just missed in the article or whatnot, but I don't know. I missed when it happened, I guess. I was watching the game on TV, but I don't think they covered it at all either.
No, I don't think we saw any of it. Again, it's right down below us, but there's a lot going on, and you know, when you're trying to write and post things at the end of the game, you do miss some of that stuff. But it definitely was a weird situation that they've got to figure out. And I think the Rockets are going to get fined a lot from this game. There was a lot of, I mean, Emi Udoka's post-game comments, like, whoa.
Yeah, he'll catch a nice little fine. Do we want to, is it more or less than $40,000 for Emi Udoka's fine?
Because
he charged at the ref during the game, and then he did double down after the game, post game. Like, yeah, these refs stink.
Yeah, I think he said they need new glasses.
Pretty much.
And he dropped some explicits there, too.
Yeah.
I think he'll get, Mike Brown got $30,000. I think he'll get $50,000 because it was multiple acts.
Yeah, I think that's a good number.
Yeah, I think that'll be the number. And then Shangoon's going to get hit with probably $25,000 as well.
I think that's a good number, too.
You know what, Jesse? We got to step aside and take a break. We're the insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle Madsen is out for the day. We are, of course, the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
Shout out to Dr. David. Kyle Madsen's out right now shopping for minor league baseball hats. That's why he couldn't make it today.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's also possible he's waiting in line for K-pop tickets.
That's fair as well. I think he posted his little Spotify, the Wrapped, I think they're calling it, where it shows like your stats and all that. I think one of the K-pop bands was his top one.
Oh, yep, yep. I also think it's possible he's out shopping for glasses that he doesn't need.
That's fair as well.
Yeah.
Soren Early, I saw this one. This was a good one. He's walked into the 95.7 studio, forgot where he worked again.
Oh, that's possible. It's possible he thinks it's Friday and he brought donuts to the 95.7 studio for Donut Friday, even though it's Wednesday.
Kyle Madsen, man.
Also, Kyle Madsen, it's possible he's boycotting Wednesday because it's not Thursday, his favorite day of the week.
That's fair enough, too, just kind of getting it out the way. So we get to the real good stuff.
Yeah. There's all kinds of possibilities here. Jesse, let's get to the fast break, the Jiffy Lube, man, teamwork player of the game. And for last night, I think that that Malik Monk's passing like stood out for me as something that, like, not that he isn't a really good passer already. I believe him to be an excellent passer. And again, I think you're going to have two guys in the starting lineup, maybe even three guys in the starting lineup. Now let me keep doing my math. Four guys now in the starting lineup that will average over five assists per game. And that's crazy because I don't think there are teams around the league that have that at all. Between DeRozan, Fox, Monk, and Sabonis, you're going to have a ton of assists for this team. And that's the way this should have been working out the whole season anyway. But Monk steps up and has 12 assists in a game. The last person to have 12 assists in a game for the Sacramento Kings, I believe, was Domantas Sabonis, which he's probably done 35 times in his time during the Kings, his run with the Kings here. What we do here on the Insiders is after every Kings game, we give out a code. If you go right now to ESPN1320.com, click on the Jiffy Lube logo. Our word for today, it was going to be Malik, but I was talking to Jackie and we changed it to Chaos because Malik is chaos, but also last night's game was chaos.
Malik is good chaos.
He is good chaos. So Chaos chaos is our Jiffy Lube fast break player password of the game. What you're going to go, you're going to put in. That you're going to be entered to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift card, gift certificate, which we pull a name every Friday. And not only that, but it also puts you in line to get one of our new Insider sweatshirts, not the Insider sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now, but the new version that I wore yesterday.
I'm going to talk to promotions to get me one of those.
Yeah, you're going to go over there?
Yeah, I need an updated version.
They are very, very nice.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the Jiffy Lube, you know, of course, our guy Jim at Brick House does such a great job, but the Jiffy Lube sweatshirts are some of the nicest sweatshirts you're ever going to run into. They're like primo. Yeah, so really, really good stuff. So, I of course butchered that entire read, and we'll do another one later, and I'll probably
you'll get it later, James. All right, we'll pick ourselves up. We're all good. That's good.
As Kyle says, we'll just fix that in like editing.
It was the greatest read of all time.
There we go. I think Jesse, it's time to get to six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Very good.
Kings insider James Hamm has six notes. You
make it seven.
To know. Here are James Hamm's seven
quick thoughts. All right, man. Quick thought number one. Keegan Murray looked like Keegan Murray. I don't care how many points he scored. He ended up with 14. He had six rebounds. He goes 3 of 5 from three. Jesse, hallelujah. Amen. That was Keegan Murray that we saw on the court last night.
Keegan Murray was playing with some emphasis yesterday. He was playing aggressive. If the ball, there was a few times where Domas kicked it to him in the corner, and like, it's just, as soon as Keegan caught it, it's like, I'm taking the shot no matter what. And I think that's kind of what you need from him, this just going forward. You just need Keegan to be sure of himself when he's out there, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the craziest thing, is that confidence, especially for three-point shooters, it means so much. And if you hesitate at all at the NBA level, number one, the closeout comes. But number two, the thought process comes into your head. Mm-hmm. And when you just catch and shoot without thinking, that's when you find success.
Yeah, even trying to get to the basket and all, like I said, Keegan was playing aggressive and had some emphasis there. So hopefully he's able to just keep that going forward. Because he was talking the other day, I think it was at practice, he was talking to you guys, and he just didn't seem like he was too worried about it. It's like, my shot's going to fall eventually, we'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, he very much like, I'm fine.
I don't think we'll ever know if Keegan's worried, to be fair.
I'm in a good place. And it was like, all right, you're in a good place. Last night was the first time. And again, he does not have to average 18 points a game. But what he has to do is he has to figure out the three-point shooting. He's got to figure out ways to be productive. He had a couple of blocks. He had a couple of big-time rebounds. He just looked like the player we've become so accustomed to seeing. And I thought defensively he was really good. Just overall, just for the first time in a while, it was like a, everyone relax. Keegan Murray's okay. And that's where I came out of that one. All right, let's get to number two. DeMar DeRozan. He had 2 points in the first half. And I got to be honest, I was a bit concerned. He had no legs. Like every shot he took came up short. And it was like, uh-oh, is it going to be one of those weird DeMar DeRozan nights where he just can't figure out how to put the ball in the basket? And that, of course, doesn't typically happen. He came out in the third quarter and went back-to-back and ones and then got to the free throw line. So in the span of like maybe 2 or 3 minutes, he had 7 or 8 points. He had been to the free throw line for 4 free throws. And he just like cranked up the physicality, and he ended up scoring 14 of his 16 in the third quarter. And then once he started getting his shot going and the defense started, you know, moving towards him, then he started doing all the other things. He started rebounding. He started dishing out the ball. And to me, that was one of the more complete games that we've seen from DeMar DeRozan. It does not have to be 20 points every game, Jesse. Some nights you're going to score 16. Sometimes you're going to score 15. I don't think that there's a baseline below that for DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
But usually it's 20-something. But I thought he was so productive last night and was so meaningful to what was happening on the court, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings, you don't need DeMar to always go for like 28, 25 or whatever, because you have enough guys where someone else is going to step up if that's not happening or whatever. You just need him to just like steady produce and just play with a purpose every game, which he does for the most part. I think in the first half, the Kings were kind of trying to find their flow. But after that, it seems like he kind of got in with them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he finished with 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a block. Again, he was just productive. He had a plus 17 on the night. That's what you're hoping for from him. Again, it does not have to be like this gigantic scoring output every game. And if he doesn't get that scoring output, he's not good for you. I think this is one of those games where he really helped fill up the stat sheet. And again, with him going for 5 assists, we had 5 assists for DeRozan, 7 assists for 5 assists for DeRozan, 4 for Sabonis, 12 for Monk, and 7 for De'Aaron Fox. The Kings finish was with 33 assists overall and only 10 turnovers as a team. That's crazy. That's what Kings basketball should look like.
Yeah, that's winning basketball right there, too. That's a formula for success.
Yeah. Let's hit key number 3. Malik Monk sets a new career high with 17 assists, with 12 assists to go with 17 points. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Like, his energy, his ability to attack the rim. Again, the shots, he wasn't even trying to force shots or take shots early on. He goes 4 of 8 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line, 12 assists, a steal, 0 turnovers.
Malik Monk, I feel like, to sum up his career so far, feels like a guy who's a lot better than he's been allowed to be.
I totally agree. And you know what? Like, I don't know how many times he's played 35 minutes for the Kings, but I bet you it's not more than a handful.
Yeah. Like, I think for the most part, on average, he's probably averaged about 28, 26 minutes a game with the Kings each season.
Yeah, I think his minutes per game has not been extremely high, right? We've seen him, I think it was 25 his first season. It might have got up to 26, 27 last year, but I'm not sure about that. You know, for me, it's always been, hey, can you go out there and can you hold up? You know, like, Malik's not a super big guy. He averaged 26 minutes per game last year and 22.3 in his first season with the Kings. So that's crazy. He only averaged, I mean, that first year with the Kings where he averaged 13.5 points and almost 4 assists per game, it was only in 22.3 minutes. He's going to have to play major minutes, and he's going to have to hold up. I mean, we've seen Malik throughout his career go through these major lulls where he can't hit shots, where he's not effective. And that's a problem. And now that you're going to see his minutes jump to 30-plus a night, and he's all of a sudden stuck in that group of players that Mike Brown is going to run into the ground.
Yeah, you're a guy until we get someone else in there to take some minutes off of you. Like, you're going to need to be here every game.
And look, I'm not taking a jab at Mike Brown there. Mike Brown has had no other option.
Yeah, like, he has no choice.
Yeah, even last night, he played 8 players in the primary, the bulk of the game. And Jay Crowder, one of those players, only played 12 minutes. You know, again, you had 25 minutes from Kevin Herr. You had 18 minutes from Isaac Jones. But, like, Malik's going to have to – he's going to have to be ready. And he can't have this, you know, 3-4 week swoon where he can't hit a three-point shot or his field goal percentage drops off the table. That's not what being a starter in the NBA level is about. So hopefully he's ready for all that. Let's get to number four. Kevin Herter finds his bench game. Like, look, Kevin Herter has not dealt with change well at all. Like, let's just be honest. Like, he has not dealt with change well. And he doesn't like when his minutes were messed with. He didn't like it when Chris Duarte might be the starter. He certainly didn't like getting benched. But I thought last night was the first time Kevin Herter just said, you know what? This is my new reality, and I'm going to be the best version of Kevin Herter in whatever time I get out there.
Well, I feel like that benefits everyone, too. Like, yeah, it might not be the role that you want, but who knows what your future is here or whatever. You might want something else going forward or whatever, but for the time being, yes, this is the role they need you to be in, and if you're not producing, that's just going to look bad all around, and that's not going to help the team. That's not going to help you. So if you're out there and however many minutes you get producing, like, that's just going to benefit everyone at this point.
No, I totally agree. Like, a good Kevin Herter is a good thing for the Kings. Like, the Kings need Kevin Herter, especially with Malik Monk moving into the starting lineup. We didn't even really talk about that. This could be the guy. This could be the guy that you need to be that player and step in to a role that is more, maybe more suited for him. And look, he's going to get more opportunity. You know, last night, he is 4 of 9 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, shot 42.9% from 3 at 13 points. You know, the 2 assists, the 2 rebounds, maybe a little bit more, but Kevin Herter also had a steal, also had a block. You know, this team was aggressive from top to bottom, and I thought that Kevin played with the fluidity of the game. There were times where he got picked on a little bit defensively, but I also think he did a really good job. You know, Fred VanVleet looked like he was going to start busting the Kings from 3, and he ended up 1 of 10 from 3-point line. And that's, you know, if you're the Kings and you can hit 14 threes on 30 attempts like you did last night, number one, that's spectacular, 46.7% from 3, right? But the biggest key that I think we've all been waiting for is that the Kings had 14 made threes and the Rockets also had 14 made threes. And I think Kevin Herter was a big reason for that. I thought he did well defending out on the perimeter and keeping hand up. And, you know, they go 14 of 39. They took 9 more threes, had the same amount of makes as the Kings. And, you know, do I want Kevin Herter out there defending Jalen Green? Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's less than ideal.
No, that's not ideal at all. And when Jalen Green gets on a heater, you got to, like, holy cow, look out. Why did they not feed him more, and why did they not feature him more? But that's part of being a young team and part of making a mistake. But I thought overall, Herter, both offense, defense, he was really good.
Yeah, he was productive. And like I said, that's just what you need from going forward. The Kings have no room for error right now.
No, the margin of error is gone. Yeah, not just... It's funny, the margin of error is gone on the season. I'm just going to say it right now. I mean, when you're 10 and 12 and everybody in the Western Conference outside of you that, you know, like getting into the playoff picture is not going to be easy.
Everyone is really good, turns out, in the Western Conference. Literally everyone.
Everyone is really good, right? There's only like 2 teams, 3 teams below you in the standings. That's when you start to, you look at the margin of error being gone, but also the margin of error from one game to the next inside the game, it's gone. Like when you're playing, you need Kevin Herter. You need Kyrie.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to survive those games if those guys don't show up at all right now.
Yeah, you're not. So, all right, let's get to number 6. Sabonis and Şengün is just like, must-see TV. It's so much fun to watch. It's a total contrast in style. One guy just like has like maybe 700 post moves, and the other guy has like 2. And one guy plays like a tough guy, and the other one plays like a giant wet noodle. But Şengün is so talented, and to watch him and Sabonis go toe-to-toe, Şengün ended up with 24 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. And Sabonis, it's almost identical. It's 27 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. One of the, I think it's only the second game this season that Sabonis hasn't had a double-double.
It's like you said earlier, Şengün, you throw Wembanyama in there too, of course, but like they're the future of that position right now. And it was good to see Sabonis, who is that guy right now, one of the top three, four guys, or whatever you want to call it, at that position, going up against a guy like Sengun.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a crazy battle and super important for the game. Sabonis was able to stay on the court. He had four fouls.
There's half the battle right there.
Yeah, and like, look, you only had to play him 32 minutes last night. That's pretty big. I think a reduction in minutes for Sabonis might lead to more productivity. But seeing Sabonis become more of a scoring threat is huge.
Yeah, Sabonis has really showed up this year, too. I don't think there's been a game where it's kind of like, could have used more from Domas on this one or whatnot. Like, he's been really good this season, I feel.
Yeah, I think so, too. There might be one game where you can point to, and even that game, I think they won, where he didn't take hardly anything. And he probably still had, like, 19 points on six shots. It's just kind of the way it goes with him. All right, let's get to number six. De'Aaron Fox filled up the stat sheet. Fox finished with 22.7 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block. He also hit some shots. He was 4-6 from 3, and he brought such a moxie to the court, and he was chirping. He was having a good time, man.
Oh, yeah, you could tell, too, watching the game.
Yeah.
He was talking to everyone. He's kind of like, that was De'Aaron Fox's core yesterday.
I mean, that's the energy and everything, like the aura that he brought to the court. It changed everything. Like, it made the Kings the dynamic team that they should be.
We need to figure out this whole pissing off De'Aaron Fox thing. I don't know if maybe you want to take one for the team and be like, hey, De'Aaron, Marcus Smart was kind of talking crazy. Like, we're just kind of lying at this point, but it's to get De'Aaron going. Maybe we kind of Michael Jordan this thing and De'Aaron kind of lies to himself. Like, hey, so-and-so was talking crazy or whatever. Now I need to tear him up. Like, we got to figure this out. Where we just get angry De'Aaron every game.
I will tell him next time I see him in the locker room, I will tell him every day when I leave the locker room and you're here, I'm going to say something rude to you to piss you off.
There you go, James Ham.
I am. I'm going to say something like ridiculous, and hopefully it makes you angry. Like, I will walk by him and say, I want the spikes back.
And you know what? When De'Aaron Fox is making his MVP speech at the end of the year, he's like, yeah, James Ham every day at practice would say something to piss me off, and that really helped.
Yeah, I'm going to kick him in the shin one day. Just like walk by and like,
good luck with that.
And walk out, you know? That's it. I think that's the answer to all of our problems.
Yeah. Angry De'Aaron Fox is what the Kings need.
They do. They need it so bad. That is exactly the cure for everything. Let's get to our final. Normally we do six. Every once in a while there's a game where a seventh quick thought is necessary. Isaac Jones is, man, it's happening.
He stood out, James. He stood out big time yesterday. Even Steven Adams was giving him props on TV.
I know. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening, man. He is this year's Keon Ellis. He is absolutely showing up every single game. I didn't think that there was going to be a time where it's like, hey, he's going to get 12 points in like a couple of games in a row or something. I didn't think that. He needs to do a better job rebounding. But all of a sudden, he's swatting at every ball that comes near
the rim. That's what stood out to me yesterday, I feel like. That stood out the most to me.
The goaltend? I'm here for it. Go ahead. The ball kept going up, and Isaac Jones just kept going up.
Make him think about it when they're going to the rim.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, I thought that his energy and effort, he makes mistakes. And, like, it's nuanced mistakes that people might not pick up on, but there are some mistakes happening. And it's mistakes in rotations. It's mistakes in boxing out. It's mistakes that like, he just needs more experience. This is a guy who did not play at, like, high level. He got up to, what, Washington State in final year. As a college player, but this is getting played at the JC level. Like, he just needs more time, but it's kind of one of those things where, you know, he doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he's just going to go out there and play his hardest and do his best. And like, the rebounds, dunking over people that he has no business dunking over, like attacking Victor Wembanyama one night or going like right around or right over Steven Adams last night. You know, even Jabari Smith Jr., great shot blocker. Well, a very good shot blocker. Just goes right at him, doesn't care.
Yeah, this is him being thrown into the fire at this point. But like you said, just imagine when he gets some development, he kind of learns the game a bit more and all that.
Where
he can kind of control it.
Yeah, I want him to not lose this, whatever it is that he is right now. I don't want him to lose this. It's just that he needs to be more refined on everything else, like the rotations and everything else. But like, if he's just a little bit quicker in his thought process, he will start blocking shots at like a very high clip. And so I think it's really exciting. And, you know, Mike Brown has said like repeatedly, like, look, Isaac Jones is in the rotation right now, but he's got to fight to stay there. That's the best way to handle this. Like, you don't want complacency. The energy and effort has to be there exactly like it has been the last couple of games. And you hope that that is who he is as a player. But young players can get complacent. They can lose their way. They can get tired. They can hit a wall. And this is, you know, the opportunity's there right now. And I think Isaac Jones is answering the bell.
Yeah, he's been great. Like I said, he was noticeable yesterday. And you just got to make sure you just develop him the right way. So it just keeps going.
Yeah. I feel bad. Jake Crowder was left off of 7 quick thoughts. He's the only player that did not make the standard 6 quick thoughts or 7 quick thoughts. But
give him an honorable mention for today's quick thoughts.
Yeah, there you go. I thought in 12 minutes he played defense. And he gave you your tough guy mentality.
Yeah, he's got attitude. The Kings need that.
Yeah, yeah. Especially in a game like that against a team that has a bunch of attitude. I'm just going to ask you this question, Jesse. Isaac Jones, like, again, we're not going to see 5 of 5 from the field every game. We're not going to see the 12 points. But has he changed your outlook on what the Kings are needing to add?
No. No, because it's nice and it's great, but he is a two-way player right now, and I can't count on Isaac Jones to be this the rest of the season. Like, he's great right now, like, it's production, but I still think if there's moves to whatever you thought before Isaac Jones is still what you should be thinking after Isaac Jones, I think.
Okay.
As far as how you need to improve the team and all that.
Okay, so then let me ask this question. If Isaac Jones is who this, you know, if he gives you a couple more weeks of this, where he's this player, does it change your mindset on what you might do with a player like Trey Lyles?
I might not be popular, but even before Isaac Jones, I was kind of on the, might be okay to move Trey Lyles train.
Okay.
You just needed production at that spot, and Trey wasn't giving it to you, even before Isaac Jones was playing well.
I think it's unfortunate, because Trey's been hurt twice.
Yeah, like, he hasn't really had maybe the best opportunity to get going, just given when you get back, you need time, like any player, but the Kings are at a moment right now where they don't have time to give.
Yeah, and I also think, like, there was a moment where Trey Lyles started to be very productive, right? We saw this grouping of games when you had Sabonis out, when you had other players out, right? When you had DeRozan and Monk out. He had 13 points, 7 points, 17, and 12. He also, in those games, had 5, 8, 3, and 10 rebounds. He started to give you more. He started to look more like Trey Lyles. He started to hit the 3 ball. He goes 5 of 7 from 3. He goes 3 of 7 from 3. He started to look like himself, right? That's a good thing. And you're hoping that when he comes back, it doesn't take like a 3-week ramp up, because that's what it was. And it was just way too long of him trying to get back to the player he's supposed to be. And the Kings can't function if they don't have all of these pieces in place.
Yeah, because if I'm Monty McNair and I'm trying to work a deal or whatever, at this point, like, I can't wait for Trey Lyles to be ready. I can't wait for Kevin Huerter. If I think this deal is going to help my team now, then you got to do it at that point. And it's not even Trey Lyles' fault at this point. It's just their 10 and 12 team.
Yeah, that, and Trey Lyles is on an expiring contract, and he's an $8 million contract, and so if you do have to make a trade, there's a possibility that Trey Lyles might be involved in that trade, and that's just because that's the numbers, and you can trade him without getting deep into your core and bring back a player that's functional that might help this team. All right, well, we're going to step away. We've got to pay the bills. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
Welcome in. I'm James Hamm of The Insiders, here with Jesse Tapia, and we're here to talk to you about our friends over at Jiffy Lube. Right now, Jiffy Lube has an incredible oil change special. Go to jiffylube.com. You get a $33 off coupon right now. But also, like, look, this is holiday season. The last thing you want to do is go out there and have your car not be roadworthy. So drop by your local Jiffy Lube. They are open at 7:30 every day, Monday through Saturday. Have your windshield wipers inspected. Make sure that both your headlights are working. They can switch out both of these things. They can take care of your headlights. They can take care of your wiper blades, but also, like, if you're getting in your car in the morning, Jesse, and it just doesn't really want to start, and it just kind of chug and then starts, that usually means that your battery is going dead and you're going to need a new battery. So Jiffy Lube can take care of you there.
Yeah, shout out to you for that. I took my car to the Northgate one last week. That $33 off coupon really helps, let me tell you. Leaving there with a big old smile because I got to get the full synthetic or oil change on mine or whatever, so it costs a little bit more money. So when I had that coupon or whatever, that definitely helps a lot.
There it is. So go to JiffyLube.com, grab yourself a coupon for $33 off your holiday special oil change. And again, we're the insider. Yourself a coupon for $33 off your holiday special oil change. And again, we're the insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. And we have a big-time guest. I always love... This is my favorite. Like, Mark Jones is dropping by. Look at Mark Jones. What's up, man? It's always good to have you in.
Always fun, man. Always love talking Kings and talking NBA in the bigger picture. And that morning after a much-needed win is always... The breakfast, my coffee always tastes a little bit better. The espresso always hits a little better. Everything's a little bit brighter outside. You know, it's all good, man.
That's right. You know, Mark, we walked into yesterday's game, and yesterday on the show, me and Kyle discussed it. The Kings were favored by 1.5, and, you know, I know you're not a betting guy, but, like, when you're looking at that, you're thinking, okay, how is this possible? Like, the Houston Rockets have won, what, 3 in a row? They'd won, like, 9 out of 10 or something. They look like world beaters. They had the length and athleticism that the Kings just can't deal with. They were 3-0 against the Kings last season. All of these things stacked up. And then you saw the Kings come out and play with this different type of mentality, this different type of fire. Just how excited were you to see that, that this was a different brand? It was a brand in Kings basketball that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah. You know what, James, Jesse, I almost wish that we would face an opponent like Houston all the time, an opponent that's very, cantankerous, antagonistic, because it brought out the best in Sacramento last night, you know, with Houston's physical style of defense. They bump you off their cuts, they top lock, they get into your face, they face guard, they do everything that antagonizes an opponent that's trying to run their offense. And it forced the Kings to, you know, play at a higher level of intensity and, you know, their pace on offense. And we talk about pace, not just running the floor, but pace in the half court. You know, you saw it. They had to cut hard on those Canada cuts going through and those backdoor cuts and, you know, on those DHO actions. They had to run hard to get the ball because Houston was denying everything. And it was good to see the team respond to that kind of physicality in particular, you know.
There was expectations coming in this year about playoffs and hopefully top six and all that. Do you think this team is feeling any pressure right now given their start?
I don't think so, Jesse. I think that, you know, we've given away a couple too many already at home, but it's nothing that a 7-8 game win streak can't fix. You know, we saw what Milwaukee went through recently, and I had one of their games a couple of weeks ago. They were in the depths of it, and they were walking floors at night, and right now they're arguably the hottest team in the NBA. So, you know, when you look at the fact that Sacramento hasn't been whole for a lot of the season, we've had already, I think, 8 different starting lineups. I think Mike's going to ultimately figure it out. He's too good a coach not to. And this is a team that still has a good shot of finishing in the top six. And I think they will because we have too much, I think, offensive versatility. We saw that last night, not to be able to figure out. And if we can hang our hat on defense to the point where we're, you know, maybe top 12 or even top 15, that gives us a great shot to be one of those top six in the West.
We are joined by Mark Jones, legendary NBA voice, also a very nice Canadian man.
Hey, took out my passport. Dual citizenship has its benefits.
That's right. Mark, we have De'Aaron Fox's mom in the chat, which Lorraine drops by on occasion.
I love Lorraine. That's awesome.
One of the nicest ladies ever. Before you came on, I committed to Jesse that every pregame when they're at home, When I see De'Aaron Fox walk in the locker room as I'm walking out, I'm going to say something negative or kick him in the shin to make him angry. So he goes out and plays that fiery Fox that we like to see.
I love it.
So
love
it. What I'm asking now is for your commitment that when I'm not there on the road and you are, can you take over and say something negative to De'Aaron?
It's a team effort, Mark. We all got to chip in here.
We're going to need you.
I'll do it for the team if you really need me to. I'll do it for the team. As long as De'Aaron can get past it afterwards and he knows that I'm just doing it for the team. Maybe it's like, you know what it is? I just thought about something, James, Jesse. Maybe it's not saying something. Maybe it's, you know how it is when someone steps on a brand new pair of kicks that you've taken out of the box?
Yeah, that's a no-no.
Hey. Maybe just one of those accidentally on purpose, kind of step on his shoe without, you know, hurting his foot or anything, and getting it dirty and getting him just irritated enough. So as I like to call it, he goes Black Air Force energy, you know, because there's that. The reason I say Black Air Force energy is always, if you know dudes that wear Black Air Force, they're a little different.
You leave him alone, Mark. You leave him alone.
Hey, you know, he might be playing pickup ball with an ankle bracelet on. You know what I mean? You just say,
hey. Hey, Mark, hey, look, you don't want to see me wearing, with these white legs, you do not want to see me wearing Black Air Force Ones. Just saying. Long socks, short socks, it doesn't matter.
That might stand out.
It might stand out.
Yeah, there's guys, there's a degree of Looney Tunes that goes along with wearing Black Air Force. So I love it when De'Aaron gets to that point, you know, and he got into that, you know, that jaw jacking with Dylan and with Jabari Smith Jr. with about 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. And I turned to Katie at the time and I said, you guys were at the game, obviously, probably didn't hear it. I said, Katie, De'Aaron has 5 points right now. He will for sure end up in double figures in this next 4.5 minutes, and because he's going to be mad. And he was pissed and he went and did his thing. He went right to the elbow and got his little turnaround jump shot off the spin that he likes to execute. And when he gets to see, but mom, Lorraine, raised a really kind of cool young man. So that's who De'Aaron is at his core. That's his DNA. You know, that's the trick with a lot of guys is finding that extra level of intensity, whether it be through self-motivating yourself, something imaginary, make up a slight, maybe pretend that somebody said something to you, whatever it is. But when De'Aaron gets to that level of intensity, he's an all NBA guard easily, you know.
This is your A from right now. Do you think we're seeing the best version of De'Aaron Fox so far in his career?
Yeah, I still think there's another level. And I think we can see it this year once the Kings get whole, once, you know, Mike starts to have a roster that's healthy and gets a rotation set and De'Aaron has a chance to really pick his spots without, you know, having to wear too many hats, if that makes sense, you know? Because when he's a focus scorer, I mean, he's as dictatorial and as imperious and powerful as anyone out there going to the basket. And we've seen at the defensive end, the one sequence that, you know, the part of his game, Jesse, that I think is still developing is what he's doing defensively. We saw that one sequence where he picked somebody's pocket, took the ball and told him about it, and then brought the ball up court. And that to me was breathtaking because I love players that take pride in that end of the floor. And in today's NBA, there's not a lot of two-way guys that do that, and I think Fox can be one of the top.
Yeah, we're here with Mark Jones, legendary broadcaster, voice of the Kings, ESPN, a college football aficionado. I can't imagine what your next couple of weeks will look like with college football and Kings basketball. Mark, you know, there is that moment where he has like a switch that goes. Yeah. And again, I don't know how to find that every time because, you know, like he said last night after the game, he had a funny quote. He said, when you say something to me, come along for the ride. And I thought that was like very profound. And for me, it was like, hey, I'm going to need that. I need, you know, because I've known him since he was like a 19-year-old kid,
right,
covering
right.
him, and he's always been brash and a little cocky, and I love it. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Like I like that side of his personality.
Yeah, there's not a player in the NBA that isn't elite that doesn't have that. Yeah.
And that's what you need, though. You need to see it every night. And I think we are seeing the consistency. We're also seeing what you're talking about, the defensive metrics, despite the Kings sort of falling down the, you know, the ranks in the defensive ratings and stuff. He's not. He's a guy who is playing out of his mind. And you can look at the three-point percentage against him. It's not like everybody else on that team. Right. So I think there is a moment where, you know, again, maybe it's the max money deal that's sitting there that will motivate him. Maybe it's something else, but I just, the consistency of greatness, he's great, but I need to see it every single night.
Yeah. And I think right now it's just a matter of the team as a whole being able to settle into their respective roles, because I kind of sense that his role, like a lot of other guys in that starting unit, especially, has morphed into something different from game to game, it feels like, with the 8 different starting lineups we've had. But if it gets to a point, and I would love for it to get to a point, I think it will get to a point where De'Aaron just decides to, like how old is he? He's 27, right?
Yeah.
So his leadership voice is just really now developing, I think.
Actually, he'll be 27 on the 20th or the 21st.
Yeah, coming up this month, yeah.
Yeah, and the great Sean Cunningham have the same birthday.
Oh, there you go.
They do.
I remember Sean's, but not De'Aaron's. Yeah. But I think what we're seeing is his leadership voice beginning to develop a little more. We saw last night. I mean, he was communicating very strongly with his teammates and commanding in the way that he was and demanding in the way that he was asking them to get to spots on the floor. And, I just love when they run that zoom action and get him going downhill to his strong hand. It's about as unstoppable a play as the Kings have in their playbook. And, just getting back briefly, James, to the defensive end of the floor, I remember when I spoke with De'Aaron earlier this season and I said, tell me about your defense, man. He says, hey, Mark. He goes, he looked at me and said, I'm not the guy you call up in a pick and roll, okay? I love that. And he was saying a lot of things in that. He said, basically he was telling me, hey, there's a lot of dudes that score 25, 30 a game in the NBA that couldn't guard a pylon. I'm not one of them. And I understood exactly where he was coming from. And he's 100% correct. And if, you know, this team, if we can stay in the top 15 in defensive rating, we're going to have a shot in the playoffs, because offensively we've got too many tools not to. I love, guys, what De'Aaron did, and this is an example of it. He showed great sovereignty over our offense yesterday. In the third quarter, whether it was him making the call or Jay Triano or Mike, they were very intentional about getting the basketball to DeMar DeRozan because they knew that they had to get him going. And they made a couple of calls to get him coming off those weak side pin downs, and a couple, I think they call it cross punch, where it's a cross screen for DeRozan. He comes across the lane, and they post him up, and it was cash. And you saw what he did in the third quarter. So that was a really good snapshot of what this team can be in terms of moving forward and even in the postseason.
You mentioned defense, and like I said, into the roles earlier. Keon Ellis got no minutes yesterday. Do you think he's back to being a situational role player, and does he need to be out there on the court for the Kings?
Man, his defensive metrics usually grade out pretty well, and he makes Sacramento a better team when he's on the floor. I don't mean to list this as an excuse for the staff or Keon or anyone else, but things have been crazy lately, you know, and when we get through this next stretch, and it might be a while still, even until Trey Lyles gets back, who knows? But once they settle in, quote unquote, I think at some point we'll see a little bit more of Keon, because, you know, his 3-point shooting is too good not to have out there, especially with a team that's struggling right now from the 3-point line. I think we're 23rd or 25th, somewhere in there. In 3-point percentage, You know, I think he helps our pace as well. So there's going to be time and moments for him. And I just think that when you look at the roster, there's you know, with the way that Isaac Jones is developing and Jay Crowder's aboard, when we get whole, that lends to some pretty good versatility in our roster.
All right, you're listening to the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We, of course, have Mark Jones, the spectacular voice of the Sacramento Kings, on with us. Mark, the Kings situation, I have no idea. Like, again, like De'Aaron Fox, I've, you know, been around him since he came in the league. Yeah. And he was very clear at practice this week that he feels like he's okay. Like, yeah, he's in a good place mentally. And then we watched him go out last night. And I don't care about the point total. He finished with 14 and 6, I think. A couple of blocks, a steal. But just the feel on the court was that Keegan Murray was back. And I don't know, like, how you keep that thing going and you keep his confidence up. I don't know if it's players putting their arm around him and, you know, having good conversations with him and not dark conversations. But where are you at with Keegan and sort of his development and his you know, potential to climb back up?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, his rookie year, guys, we saw him at 41% on his threes. Last year took a significant dip because obviously he was in the embryonic stages of becoming a two-way player, you know, getting all the number one options defensively from the opponent. And I think by the time it shakes out this year, we're going to see what the real Keegan Murray looks like in year three. And I think he's going to settle somewhere around 36% on his three-point shooting. Last night was a positive sign. You know, he is playing with great force, which is, you know, what will probably help him. He's dealt with shooting slumps before, you know, going back to his freshman year in college, and where he shot 27% on threes, and then his senior year he took off. But, you know, it comes down to, you know, adjustments, a little self-scouting, self-diagnostic things in his game and with his shot. You know, I know that his father and Jawad do a great job in shooting him notes and getting him caught up to speed. His dad, you know, Kenyon, was his first coach and coached him right even through college on the side as a skills coach. And, you know, as long as he's got that wide base with his feet and he's playing with force and he's playing off 2 feet, I think that's one of the adjustments that that he might be making along this path. And we've seen examples of him going to the basket and being a real force, you know. So it's probably happening a little bit slower than most of us would like it to. But ultimately, Keegan has the perfect temperament and disposition to be able to get to where he wants to go ultimately. And I think he will. Like I said, I think by the end of the season, he'll end up 37% on his threes on decent volume and be doing a lot more than he was in his rookie year at the defensive end. And I mean, his offensive rebound has been found money for the Kings too.
Yesterday, like, Keegan played well. Kevin Huerter made the most of his minutes and the team had some attitude, I think, and they kind of took the game to the Rockets. Do you think that could be the start of a turnaround? Because we saw them hit their threes too yesterday. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary from the Kings, I think. They just played a good NBA basketball game. Do you think this could be like the start of a turnaround?
Yeah, sometimes it just takes... Sometimes it takes the right antagonist to bring it out of you, and I think the Houston Rockets came along at the perfect time for the Kings yesterday. You know, when we were doing our crossover in the pregame show, I told Kyle and Mike Bibby and Katie and Morgan, I said, guys, mark it down. There's going to be a fight at some point tonight. There's going to be a little dust up. Hands might be thrown. And lo and behold, it happened with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. And I think Sacramento has, you know, Jay Crowder's in the mix now. So that adds to the edginess a little bit, which I think is great. You know, that kind of compensates for the lack of not having Trey Lyles on the floor, because Trey was a little bit of a strong man for us. But this could be, that game last night could be a catalyst. I really think it was. I think they got a little bit of lightning in the bottle, and now they know what the formula could be looking forward. You know, there was nothing lucky about last night. They played great basketball.
No, I totally agree.
It's very repeatable too. You know what they did. What they did on defense, what they did on offense, very repeatable.
Yeah, energy, effort, and you got to execute. All right, we're joined by Mark Jones, the voice of the Sacramento Kings. Mark, I know you got to go catch a plane, but I want to ask you one more question on the way out the door here. Devin Carter, he's been working out for a couple of months here. He should be cleared sometime in January. I don't know if it'd be early or mid, whatever January. He's got to go back in and have that labrum looked at before he's cleared for full contact. What do you know of him? Because you seem to have, you know, that Miami vibe, and I know his dad played there forever. I know his dad was here in Sacramento when he was a kid as an assistant on the staff. How much do you think Devin Carter can impact this team when he is cleared?
Yeah, I think he will. He's fearless. I watched the kid at Doral Academy in high school and averaged over 30 a game. Fearless, like fearless at both ends of the floor. Scrappy. Watched him play as a senior in high school before he went off to college and was playing against pros, seasoned pros in the NBA players and overseas guys from Europe and more than handle his own against grown men at the time. So he's got a great feel for the game. I think he'll help our overall team defense. I mean, I think that's probably where he's going to have to earn Mike's trust at first and get on the floor that way, if and when there's a role for him there. But a pretty good three-point shooter too. So, you know, one thing, James and Jesse, that you notice, if you look at what's happening league-wide, there seems to be an increased frequency of teams picking up full court. And I like that trend. And Devin Carter, that's the type of game he likes to play. He sees a pressure defense, in-your-face, run-the-floor type of player and shoot threes when open, catch and shoot threes. So, you know, I can't wait to see him back on the floor. And he's got great basketball lineage. I covered his father, A.C. Anthony. When he was a player with the Heat, when he first broke into the summer league. And, you know, Devin's seen his dad's slow climb through the ranks from an unheralded player at Hawaii and then with the Miami Heat, a free agent, caught on with the Heat and made a name for himself in the league. So he knows all about the grind and the struggle and has embraced it through the years. And, you know, I think he'll thrive here in Sacramento.
Excellent. All right, that is the legend.
I'll tell you, though, he was in that summer league. One summer league game I saw him in the Miami Pro League playing against grown men. He was wearing Versace shorts in one of the games. and the guy on the microphone gave him that nickname, like Versace Carter, Versace with the pull-up.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I hope I get to a point in life where I can wear Versace shorts playing pickup.
Well, I only wear,
it's summer league, you know.
You know, like that's like Kenny over here, Versace Kenny over here. Yeah. You're not catching me in those. You're not catching me in black Air Force Ones either.
Oh yeah, no.
If you see me wearing black Air Force Ones and Versace shorts, something has gone horribly wrong.
You got black Air Force Ones on, James. I'm just leaving you alone that
That's
day.
Right. Just leave me alone. Mark Jones, thank you so much for dropping by. Safe travels. You're on your way to the most beautiful NBA city in the league, Memphis.
The Bluff City, baby. The Grindhouse.
Good luck.
Gus's Fried Chicken never fails in Memphis, though. That's my first stop.
There it is. Awesome. Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for dropping by, Mark. Safe travels, and go kick De'Aaron Fox in the shin for us.
Yeah, I'll step on his shoes to get him mad or something. Maybe it'll be a new pair. Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Mark.
Thanks, man. All right, that is Mark Jones. Absolutely incredible. Love Mark Jones.
Yeah, Mark is great. Vibes coming out of that, I think, because Mark's around the team and all, I feel like they're not worried yet or anything like that. I think the Kings still feel like they still got a hold on this.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. All right, we've got to take a break. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. That is Jesse Tapia. We are the Insiders. Kyle Madsen is out today. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Coming up next, we will have the handoff at some point. I think Kenny Caraway is going to jump in and chat with us about the Sacramento Kings 120-111 victory over the Houston Rockets last night. We'll see a few.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle Madsen is getting fitted for insoles today at the foot doctor, so he will not be in.
Yeah, that's why he wasn't able to make it.
Hey, you know, it's insoles, Mando. It's Mando. I don't know how you guys feel about that, James, where you're at or anything. But number one, I wear the insoles when I play basketball now.
Okay.
You know, definitely. I forgot the name of it, else I'd say it right now. But I wear the insoles. Like, because they're, I think Dame Lillard supports them. I think they're Soul Fly. I think that's what they're called. But Dame Lillard's insoles, I wear those when I play. And they have a option where you could have your everyday insoles, right? Like, so you got the ones when you're being athletic.
I feel like we're being pitched. Do you feel that, Jesse?
Are you trying to sell us something right now?
No, I'm trying to. I'm letting the people know it's that time, man.
Do you have stock in this company?
I need stock in this company. I need stock. But yeah, no, it's time, man. The everyday insoles, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get those.
Okay, so I work sporting goods forever, and there's something called Superfeet. And it's what we typically take and put in high-end ski boots and snowboard boots because there's too much movement inside. And most of them break down in a weird way. So if you buy Superfeet, they're insoles, and they mold to your feet, and they're incredible. And it's something even our buddy Charlie had to go get some, like, he's got plantar fasciitis. I was, of course, joking. Kyle is not.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah. I've been listening.
We're making things up for what Kyle's been doing all day.
Casey's a P1 of the Insiders.
I am. But it reminded me. It's like, yeah, if anybody wants to give me something for Christmas, then give me the everyday casual Soulfly insole. Okay. I got the athletic one. It's called the game day one. I got that one. You know what I'm saying? I hop in it. You know, the crazy thing about that is I always wear two pair of socks. Like, that's just...
Like, today you're wearing two pairs of socks.
I'm wearing two pairs of socks right now.
You're two pair of sock guy.
Yeah, because I like the shoe to be snug on my foot. But it gets too snug if you have the insole and two pair of socks. So now I'm trying to get used to wearing one pair of socks when I have the insole in there. Or and if I have the everyday joints, I'll probably just go to one pair of socks. It's going to be really different.
You could just bump up a half size in your shoe.
Don't do that, James. Don't do that. The man has a process here. Yeah, you're trying to throw. Yeah, don't do that, James. Yeah, what are you doing? The man has a process, and you're trying to throw him off.
Yeah, I'm making the adjustment. I'm making the adjustment to, because then if I did that, there are shoes that I already have that are the size. Right.
Oh, okay.
So even if I do bump up from here on, I still got a bunch of shoes that I wouldn't be able to wear the insoles.
James coming in with solutions. Who do you think you are?
So I had a gym teacher. He was actually never my gym teacher, but he was a gym teacher while I was at in high school, and he wore his socks inside out.
That's psycho behavior.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
stop.
But
don't
he
trust
had,
that guy.
He had a very, like, he wore, like, the white tube socks with the big, like, stripes.
Yeah. Oh, he was one of the, like, the TV show gym teachers.
Yeah, exactly. Short shorts.
Yeah.
Very tight T-shirt. And very, very
had the
old.
Whistle around his neck, too.
Of course. Yeah, a very, and he was older. Like, he retired after, like, maybe a year after I left.
Okay.
Anyway, he would wear his socks inside out because his point was, like, the softness of a sock is all on the outside. Like, why do I want to have, like, the seam where the sock is sewed up? Why do I want to have all that on the inside of my sock?
Well, that poor guy, he had bad socks.
Yeah, you just buying bad socks at that point, pal. Go to Marshall's and get you a normal pair of socks.
I don't know, it was a whole thing, because you would look, you're like, hey, man, why are your socks inside out? Or, hey, did you forget to put your socks on the right way? It's like, no, this is what I do. This is how I roll.
Come on, man.
Poor buddy's just been living life thinking socks are meant to feel like sandpaper, so I'm going to be the bright guy or whatever and switch them inside out. Meanwhile.
Yeah, Mr. Smith, you that was wrong.
That's
Mr.
right.
Smith. I don't know if that was his name. But,
probably. Yeah. Probably. I can't even remember at this point. He was never my gym teacher. I was never close to him. But, yeah, it was always
that's
wild.
That's crazy.
Well, let's segue to from comfortable socks to the Kings playing a very comfortable brand of basketball last night.
Come on. The sun is shining out here a little brighter today, man.
That's right.
It's shining a little brighter. The Kings win. That was just a good game that we saw from them last night.
No joke. I was watching that game yesterday, and they're hitting threes. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. They got to be like around 18 threes at this point or something. Wow. Like where's this been? And look, it's at 11.
Yeah, man. And look, this is we'll talk about this all throughout the day. They were just competent from the three-point line. They were just competent, and it changed everything. They weren't on fire. They didn't, oh my gosh, scorched earth. They're out there shooting like Craig Hodges. No, that's not what it was. They just weren't anemic from beyond the arc. They weren't anemic, and it changed everything. What they put up, 120? Easy 120? Hey, that's all I ask. Just be normal. Just be regular.
Okay, so I did not have Craig Hodges on my bingo card today.
I don't think he did either.
The 14 of 30 from three, I mean, it's only 14 makes. It's only 30 shots. I'm sure Mike Brown would have liked to have seen 38 of, you know, but 46.7%.
It's really good. That is good.
But I thought every aspect of the game, they were good. You know, we talked about Malik Monk had 12 assists, zero turnovers. Like, the 17 points is fine, and those 17 came late.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was at 11 and hit two threes in the fourth to get up to 17. But, man, the third quarter by DeMar DeRozan was incredible. The second quarter by De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis just going at them again and again. Like, all of these aspects, Keegan Murray stepping up, Kevin Huerter. Like, there it is, man. That's all you have to be. Don't be more, don't be less, just be that. Isaac Jones, like, Isaac Jones. I mean, like, everything felt like it fell into place. And they were mean. They were pushing. They were fighting back. They had that, you know, like what we just talked to Mark Jones, that black Air Force One energy. Yeah. They did. They had that, like, moxie to them that we've been waiting to see. And if you don't play like that every night in the Western Conference, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's as simple as that. They were ready. They were ready to compete last night. But, you know, they did a lot of good things in that game, and I don't want to dumb it down and simplify it. That three-point shot, like I said, if you're just regular from beyond the arc, it changed. Because with Sabonis, they're going to score points in the paint. With DeRozan and Fox, they're going to score in the mid-range. Now with DeRozan, they're going to get to the free throw line. All those are givens, in my opinion. The thing that's been missing is hitting the three ball. And when you have Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, and I'm going to throw Malik Monk in there. People ask, like, who are the shooters on this team? Like, where are the shooters? I know he's a little streaky traditionally and everything, but I even think if you, like, look at the numbers career-wise and then you get deep into the numbers and catch and shoot threes, like, Malik Monk is a shooter, like the way we think of Kevin Huerter and Kyle Keegan Murray. And you throw him into that equation, and I think those three went 10 of 20 last night from beyond the arc. You get – come on, man. Your shooters are shooting at that point. De'Aaron Fox threw in a 4-6 from beyond the arc, which is icing on the cake. Yeah, man, you get your shooters shooting, and it just changes the whole trajectory of what this team is and can be. And that's what really stood out to me last night.
First question, was that the best game they played all season?
Oh, I think without a doubt.
You got the Utah game at Utah.
Well, the Minnesota game in Minnesota.
And they have Phoenix at home. The killer with this is they haven't played a top flight four quarters all year, because even last night they played okay in the first quarter, but they were down, what, 8-9 at the end of the quarter, at the end of the first quarter, and then they just kind of got closer as the game went along.
They're down 7.
Seven. But it wasn't like they played bad. You look at the first Utah game that I'm talking about, that game was kind of ridiculously close for the first half, unnecessarily. The Phoenix game, where it was just Devin Booker, they were up 17 points, let Phoenix come back and take the lead at one point in the third quarter, then open it up and end up winning by 20-some-odd points. So those are the games that come to mind off the top of my head. But this, all things considered, going up against a team like Houston – And it got a little contentious in the middle of that, and the way they responded and kind of pulled away from them. Yeah, this probably was the best win of the season.
I guess my point with this is that, like, you played eight guys, no Keon Ellis. Mm. Do we think that this is sustainable for right now?
I got to be honest. I think going back to the previous game, the mistakes by Keon Ellis were, like, so egregious. That
where it kind of warranted him not playing yesterday.
I think that might have been a one, like, hey, why don't you watch for a sec?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we had the really, really bad, you know, that he gave away the 2 points on the, on the foul with 1.6 seconds left. There were just, there's a couple of moments in that game where you're like, hey man, that you can't make those mistakes. And like, look, if Mike Brown has chosen a path here, like, if he's going to give Isaac Jones an opportunity, Isaac Jones is going to make mistakes. You cannot have somebody else who's making egregious errors. Mm. It's, you know, it's something that, again, it's, you would live with mistakes that Buddy Hield made, but what you couldn't have is Buddy Hield and one other guy making those same mistakes. Mm-hmm. Because when that happens, it's
leave Whiteside out of this.
Well,
you know he wanted to say it. You know he wanted to say it.
But
you're right, though. You're right.
You can't have five egregious turnovers or five errors that are costly by two players. You can have one player who has two or three. You can't have five or six because then you're going to have your normal, you know, great play steal, you know, someone picks somebody's pocket. You're going to have enough, you know, standard turnovers, that offensive foul by Sabonis. You're going to have those. So it's what takes you from like your standard 12 to 13 turnovers to 17 or 18 in this ball game. Mm. Or 20, which is what they had, you know. You can't have those mistakes. And so I don't know that we didn't ask Mike about this because, like, look, after a game like that where your team just went out there and punched a good team right in the face and kept punching and then got a bunch of them ejected and was like, hey, that is something. I mean, what we watched, we had to focus on the good. Mm-hmm. You can't say, hey, oh, by the way, Coach Keon Ellis, why are you not playing Keon Ellis tonight? It's like, well, because that doesn't matter. You won the game. You had eight guys that played major minutes. I think it was a little telling that Keon Ellis did not play in the last 2 minutes of the game either.
That stood out to me too, actually.
Well, I took that. Okay, I took that a little differently. A little bit of sign of respect. I'm not going to put you out there then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that to you, like where you're getting garbage time minutes. You're not that. And especially if you're talking about, it's more of, hey, take a seat for a little bit. Think about, you know, what happened and playing consistently. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would put him in there in that time, if it's just that, right? Like, you're not that guy. You're not, you know, this garbage minute guy. You're still a guy that we think is better than that, so I'm not going to put you in there in garbage minute. I just think that you need to kind of get your mind right or whatever, if that's what's going on. I kind of took a little bit, I guess, is a sign of respect to who he thinks Keon Ellis is.
No, I think you might have been right. Yeah. I would like to know, like, maybe we'll ask a question eventually, but I don't think it's, by the time the Kings get back from the road trip, I don't think the Keon Ellis question is going to be still floating out there. Maybe it is. Maybe he doesn't play in the next two games, and then it's like, okay, you know, we got to ask a question. But when you have Ja Morant and Desmond Bane coming at you in the next game, that's one thing. And who do they play on Friday?
Spurs play Spurs on Friday.
Yeah.
Jazz on Sunday.
Yeah, and you might need Keon Ellis against Devin Vassell. You might, you know, again, I don't think that Keon Ellis is out of the picture here. I just think that whether it was one game or Mike was just trying to say, hey, I'm only playing eight guys tonight, and that's it. And even the eight guys, like we talked about this earlier, I think they all gave something, right? Even, you know, it doesn't show up in the box score a whole bunch what Jay Crowder did, but I think in a perfect world, this is who Jay Crowder is to the Kings. He's 12 minutes, and it doesn't matter if he scores or not. He's just going out there and not hurting you in his 12 minutes and giving you solid veteran minutes. Sometimes it'll equate to a couple of threes. Other times it won't. But overall, you know, if you can put a guy out there and know that he's going to be competent and hold his own, that's what you're kind of looking for.
Yeah, and you know what? The eight guys playing, like maybe it's a situation where you kind of, you know, look at Kevin Huerter and first half, first time out there, see if he's got it, you know, if he's looking good. If not, maybe you go to Keon, you know, and that maybe he's playing that type of rotational game. But I look at, as I'm pulling it up right now, I look at the minutes last night for the starters, and I know I wouldn't necessarily want Keegan at 40, but because of the hole that you've kind of dug for yourself, yeah, maybe in December, especially at home, I need these guys at about 35 to 37. Like, I'm not really, unless somebody's scorching hot and somebody's doing other things like Isaac Jones was last night, I'm not really like, oh, I got to manage the minutes, and we got to catch up. Like, we got some makeup to do. And the starters have been relatively consistent. They haven't necessarily been a problem. When they're on the floor, things have been going well. So at least for December, you know, we've got like almost a mini, you know, vacation all-star break thing going on with this NBA Cup where you play like one game in a week or something, or one game.
Oh, no, there's going to be two more games added.
Well, they added on the 12th and the 16th. But to get to the 12th, they play on the 8th. They play on Sunday. They don't play again until Thursday. And then they play on Monday. So you're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. Like, there's going to be some time. Yeah, these guys got to go about 35, 37 for the month of December. You know what I mean? On a consistent basis. Because we got to catch up. Like, I know we want more production from the bench. We want a deeper bench and all this. But we got to make up. I need my starters in there.
I was telling James earlier, they're at a point where there's no room for error right now. Whether it be, James said, for the season, and whether it be like in game, no one can really have a bad game at this point.
Yeah, they dug themselves that hole, man. They've got to dig out of it a little bit. So I think that might also play a role in Keon's minutes and maybe Kevin's minutes moving forward. Kevin played well last night, so he was able to work himself into 25 minutes. But, you know, if the shot's not falling and maybe he's not locked in on the defensive end, that might be 15 minutes and Keon gets 10 of those minutes or something like that in a particular game. But those starters, I think they're going to be 34 to 38 minutes plus moving forward.
Any thoughts on angry De'Aaron Fox? We got team effort here. James says that he's going to as he leaves, trying to
make him angry.
Kick him in his shin a little bit. Mark Jones says he's going to step on his shoes a bit on the road.
Yeah, it's a good plan. I might be like, hey, man, them waves ain't hitting today. You know, when I see him, be like, hey, bro, the do-rag didn't work last night. You know, something like that. Something to make him look at me crazy. Like, what you talking about, bro? All right. You lucky I got to go play this game right now. Outside of hand. And then he's got that energy going into the game.
De'Aaron Fox just walking around the building. Why is everyone so mean to me now?
This is exactly what my plan is. Like, we had his mom in the chat. I don't know if Lorraine is still here, but
girl, Lorraine.
Hey, Lorraine, we're going to add you to this as well. We're going to need you, like, on the days that Mark isn't covering the game, where Mark isn't on the road. Yeah. We're going to have Lorraine call him and say, hey, you're not welcome at Christmas. He's going to be like, what? Like, whatever it is, like, you're getting nothing for Christmas.
It is. Right. I see De'Aaron, you know, in the little drip walk hallway. That shirt's kind of ugly, dog. I ain't really feeling that. Like, what? Hey, bro, you lucky I got to go to warm up. And then he's just going to have that whole energy, man.
Bro, because there was no stopping him yesterday. And he was the best player on the court. And it's just kind of all eyes on De'Aaron, I felt like.
Well, then you got to deal with the fact that he's acknowledged that's what it is. He said, yeah, you know, I don't really say much. When you get to talking to me, what was the quote? He said, we're going to come get on this ride or something like that. What did he say exactly?
Yeah, I have it. I tweeted that quote out last night. People, you say something.
That was a bar.
You say something to me, come along for the ride.
Come along for the ride. Put it on a shirt. David Garcia, come on, man. Put it on a shirt. Come along for the ride.
Yeah.
So he's acknowledged. We all seen him. We didn't see him for 7-8 years now. There is a switch that gets flipped when he gets agitated with something, whether it's a call, another player, whatever. He turns into mean De'Aaron.
Angry Fox.
I swear this is the only team where, like, can you please just play pissed off today, please? Like, for Keegan or someone, just be mad today.
Yeah.
Keegan actually had a little force to his game last night, I felt like, as well, man. It wasn't, like, overly demonstrative, but you just saw it from him. He moved with a different type of purpose or something like that last night. And then, I mean, he's hitting the shots, man. And it's just, like I said, you talked about it earlier on the show, 14-8. It's not like he went for 40, but 14-8, 3-5 from beyond the arc. That's all we need. Jay-Z said, happy birthday, Jay-Z. All I need. That's all I need. That's all I need from Keegan. Hit your open threes. Give me them rebounds. Play your defense. And we cooking at that point.
Yeah, I thought he was asked about his celebration after Dylan Brooks getting getting tossed from the game. Well, getting his sixth foul. He's like, yeah, I was just pointing the other direction.
That's a good Keegan.
Just like, you know, I wanted to make sure he knew that it was going the other way.
Keegan said, go that way.
The ball's going that way now. And you're going to the locker room because you fouled out. Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Hey, Dylan Brooks, he irritates people. He irritates the fans. He's a villain. Man, I wish he was on the Kings.
Everyone could use
it. I wish he was on the Kings.
I don't know.
Yes, I wish Casey, he was on yes. The imagine if they were playing with this attitude every game.
I wish he was on the Kings.
I can deal with Jay Crowder level of it. I can't deal with Dylan Brooks. Like I'm with Kyle on, you know, Dylan Brooks has one of those faces where you, like, I don't know if you saw this, but anytime, when they were doing the review for a flagrant, they kept showing and to see if there was any more things that happened with the Dylan Brooks, like when he got his tech. Yeah. They kept showing a baby in the stands and the fans would cheer.
Yeah.
And then they would show Dylan Brooks and everyone
would
boo.
That was a great bit. They did a good job.
Did a really good job last night.
Hey, the Jumbotron had a night last night.
It did have a night last night.
Hey, Kings are back. The Kings are back.
Jumbotron was cooking last night, boy.
It was. If you don't know what we're talking about, go ahead and just, maybe look up Kiss Cam Sacramento.
There was a plan there. I was telling James before the show, like, they knew, hey, if we're ever on Kiss Cam, like, this is what's going down.
Oh, yeah. They said we're sitting lower level.
Yeah, that was probably years in the making right there. Yeah,
I think that was a bet that was lost. Somebody had lost a bet there, and it was like the entire scene playing out was like, oh no, it's happening.
Yeah, well, they were the ones that I think they were like, well, we bowed about it. We're going to do it. Somebody like, you ain't going to do that. Like, watch me. I'm ratty. That's what she said.
Pew guy was the opposite. That kind of signified the end. Maybe this is the beginning.
Yo, didn't the Kings like start cooking after that? Didn't they go on, like, I saw they went on like a...
Maybe, like, everyone in the stands were like...
They made like four threes in a row. Like, they start cooking. Somebody had the numbers on Twitter. Like, they start cooking after that moment.
Yeah, it's very possible. It was like, what just happened? The crowd was great last night. I will point out there was only 15,000 fans last night in the building.
Yeah.
Like,
put that on the team.
Yeah, they're gonna have to work that back up. Yeah. That's on the squad, man. That's on the squad. They're gonna have to work that back up.
And against a really good Houston team. I know it's a Tuesday night, it's tough. Mm-hmm. People have school the next day and stuff, you know, work and everything else. But yeah, that was a little sketchy.
Yeah.
All right, what do you guys got coming up?
Man, more Kings talk, man. We're gonna enjoy this Kings talk. NBA Cup is set, the bracket, the knockout round is ready to go, so we'll talk about that. And we got power rankings as well.
Ooh.
Oh, Mark Haynes is pulling up on us, and James Hamm is pulling on us.
Oh, that's right. I'll be here. I will be here later. excellent. Well, thanks for filling in today, Jesse.
It was a fun time.
Kyle Madsen was having his eyebrows threaded today and was not able to make it.
Show up. He'll be here tomorrow, though.
He will be here tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in to the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. Jesse Tappy over there. We got D'Lo and Casey coming up next. Should be a good, fun 12 to 4.
Vibes are good, man. Kings won. Vibes are good.
Vibes are up. I guess I should say be nice to people and drink water.
I got my water.
Something like that.